You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Today on the Cooligans, we have a great episode for all the squirt, squirt, bang, bangers.
Yeah.
a lot of MLS talk, some great, absolutely great games, challenging games, tough games. Los Angeles, Red Bulls, Orlando, Seattle, Portland, Sporting Kansas City, Toronto, New England, Jovinko with a bunch of hat tricks. All the hat tricks this week.
In the second segment, we talked to Nick Sabetti from Goal.com. He's an Impact de Montreal football club or Club de Football, something like that. He is their beat writer. He comes on the phone and he tells us exactly what's going on up there. A lot of things, a lot of exciting things happening in Montreal. We're really excited about it.
In segment number three, Pogba, hashtag Pogback.
Reunited, and it feels so good.
Pogba is back in Manchester United making music videos, he's making cereals. He's on the Wheaties box, I think. Manchester United looks unbeatable at this point. They won the Community Shield. And finally, David Villa, he's on Sesame Street. How adorable.
Aw, that and more on this episode of the
Cooligans.
Squirt, squirt, bang, bang.
This is Ian Joy, and you're listening to the Cooligans.
Cooligans, baby!
Yeah, I like, given that we have music now we can do, like, you know, rap. You know how rappers always, I forgot exactly, who goes, yeah, at the beginning of all their songs?
Oh, God, now it's just escaping me. Yeah. was that Shorty Low?
A lot of people do this.
All right.
So it's not.
Remember, hello. Hop about the Cool Whip inside Jello. Hop that pretty motherfucker like hello.
Nope, I don't remember.
Ladies, how you doing?
How's it going, everybody?
Don't say nothing to him. Anyway, we are here with the Cooligans.
Welcome to the show. Thank you for listening.
Thanks again to Shaq Stanley for that beautiful beat.
Shaq again. Bringing the heat.
Oh, my God. We're happy to have music. We're happy not only to have music, but we're happy to be here in your ears.
Yeah,
today, folks.
It's been from last week, you know, we did a Seattle Sounders interview with Matt Pence, the beat writer for the Seattle Times.
Matty Pence.
And ever since then, the soccer universe has just taken us seriously.
Yeah, all of a sudden.
They just like, oh, these guys, all right, these guys are all right.
It's not all poop jokes, these guys.
Yeah, the first 52 episodes were pretty much poop jokes.
A lot of fart jokes. Now we're stepping the game up. We're talking about diarrhea. New level.
That's right. So, people are appreciating it. Thank you for all the, legitimately, people are like emailing us.
Oh, yeah.
Hitting us up on Twitter. And more people are listening. So thank you. God.
You know what else I like?
What do you like?
The couple of mentions that we got.
Yeah.
For hashtag squirt, squirt, bang, bang. That is not dying. It is bang. Hashtag squirt, squirt, bang, bang.
So if you didn't listen last week, we were talking about the Apple's getting rid of the emoji.
The gun emoji.
The gun emoji. And
they're bringing in a squirt gun.
They're bringing a water gun.
Yeah. Nah, son.
So we,
they're bringing in my nickname from high school, squirt gun.
There was a joke. We had a little running joke that Alexis pretty much held
still
up.
Still running with it. First time in my life.
He grabbed that baton and he's still going.
Christian's like, the audience is gone. No one is timing this. And I said, I will carry this baton.
So, yeah.
And no one will extinguish it. This is not the Olympic torch in Brazil. No one will extinguish the power of hashtag squirt, squirt, bang, bang. And thank you to all my squirt, squirt, bang, bangers out there who are using that hashtag, sending us emails with that hashtag as the title, as the subject, I should say.
Is that going to be, the name of our fans?
Our fans.
The squirt, squirt, bang, bangers?
The squirt, squirt, bang, bangers. I think it just might be. I don't know.
It's surprising to me that anybody would, like, take that name and you know, use it as a term of endearment.
Are you kidding me? I think the moment I heard it, and that I heard it when I said it, along with everyone else.
Yeah, that's how you process things. You say a word, you're like, wow, that was pretty, I just heard the thing I just said, and I'm pretty awesome.
If I could be completely honest, that's exactly how most of my talking goes. Whether I'm on stage or everywhere else, I'll say it, and then my brain will process what has just been said.
Yeah.
And I'll go, you know what? that was pretty dope. Yeah. Or I'll go, you know what? That was pretty rude. You know?
I guess when like other people are talking, it's just like this blind confusion. You're like, what is this noise? Yeah. I don't even understand.
That voice doesn't sound like it's coming from me at all. And I don't know why they're here. I don't need anybody else playing because I got squirt, squirt, bang, bang. Anyway, listen, MLS. So exciting.
You know,
we're getting into this. We talked about this a little bit, but like Premier League is starting, but like, dude, the MLS is all of a sudden just.
You know what? I think's going to happen next week when the Premier League starts.
What you think going to happen?
Nobody's going to pay attention
Nobody.
To it because the MLS is hot right now.
Hot. It's turned. It's turned all the way up.
That's right.
Is it all the way up right now? You think it's all the way up?
Fat Joe is saying it is all the way up. That song is about.
It's about the MLS.
It's about the MLS.
It's about the post All-Star game MLS.
That's right. That's right. Well, before we get started in MLS, I hope if some people have already seen it, but we did release a new video.
Oh, check that out.
It's on YouTube. It's on on TacoCooligans.com. It's on our Facebook page. It's everywhere.
It's on our Twitter.
We poked a little fun at NYCFC. As you know, we are NYCFC fans, but you know, we don't feel like any team is free of a little bit of jokes and a little bit of fun, a little bit of ridicule. So we did. If you are an NYCFC fan, you probably saw a video. They played it at Yankee Stadium during the game against Colorado. Which
I had to miss, so I didn't even see that.
So it was a video of Frank Lampard and Jack Harrison, and they are basically explaining proper English. So they have a bunch of British sayings, slang, so to speak, and we did a little parody of it, and I thought it was pretty fun.
I agree. Here's the thing. They try to, you know, I don't think they came from this place, but they were like, let me teach these Americans.
Yeah, it wasn't an arrogant, condescending kind of thing. It wasn't. Because there's a lot of terms that we wouldn't really know or understand.
One of them is like scribble the pip. It's like
means
toodle pip. It means like good night or something.
Scribble the pip sounds pretty British. Yeah,
scribble the pip. It sounds like is Snoop Dogg here? What did you just say? Scribble the pip sounds like someone's playing a track backwards. But whatever, toodle pip. By the way, doesn't sound any better. Mm-hmm. It sounds very British. Apparently, that means like goodbye or good night or something. I don't know. Here's what I do know is that you ain't the only ones who have a special way of speaking.
That's all right,
England.
So we did.
We got our own words.
we did proper New York English.
That's right, son.
So please, if you get a chance, check it out. It was fun. It was fun to do. And I think you will really like it. Even if you're not an NYCFC fan, I think you can appreciate this video.
We're getting a lot of great response.
Yeah. So it was nice. So please check that out.
Yeah, I agree with you. And, you know, if you whatever you see it on, share it. That would be huge for us. For those of you guys who are listening that are fans of ours, we absolutely love you guys. Thank you for messaging us and emailing us. The other thing you could do is, besides leaving 5-star reviews on our iTunes, which would be huge, share these videos and let other people know that we're absolutely hilarious and the great things that have ever happened in your lives. I might be making some of that up.
No, but even though, as you said that, you were like, this is pretty great.
As soon as I said it, I was like, you should keep going.
Keep talking about yourself.
Seems like everyone's on board. No one seems to be disagreeing with you, so keep going. MLS has absolutely kicked it up to another notch. Do you want to start with a little bit of Giovinco?
Yeah, we can start with...
Because, my God.
Sebastian Giovinco... Look, he went through a stretch, I think an eight-game stretch without scoring.
He's making up for it.
Really, yeah. He's like, okay, I'm going to... I believe he's the league-leading goal scorer at the moment.
If I'm not mistaken, he's at 15.
He's at 15. I think that's the max. We'll confirm. But another hat trick. This is second this season.
Yeah.
And... Let's just talk about the first goal. So
I mean,
Toronto played against New England. Toronto won 4-1. Toronto's on an absolute tear of the Eastern Conference. They are second currently in the standings in the Eastern Conference, 1 point behind NYCFC. And they are looking like the team it's a team to beat in the Eastern Conference. I mean, that's really what they look like at the moment.
I know that a lot of people were talking about, and we'll get to LA Galaxy versus Red Bull. There was an article that came out that said potentially we might have seen, you know, the preview of the MLS Cup. And while I agree that both teams play very, very well, I don't think Red Bull are that good on the road, and they just got two major injuries, I think, Connolly, and we're going to talk about that in a second. You know, we seem to be forgetting about Toronto. And here's the thing about Toronto. They are turning it up at the right time. And this is the thing about this league that's different than all others. We have a playoff. You know, we have a playoff system. You can't just play well throughout the entire season and then kind of coast at the end if you're further ahead. That might be great for supporter shield. And although you typically have to play pretty hard the whole season to get that, we're at the point now where the teams that start to catch fire now, those are the teams that are going to be making the biggest impression and probably doing the best in the playoffs. You know, obviously, as NYCFC fans, we're really excited that they're sort of starting to figure it out now. But when you look at someone like Toronto, Josie Altidore just scored again.
That's right.
Is it Altidore or Altidore? I've heard both. I say both. You just go out the door. Get out the door. All right.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. We'll do that. Score, score, bang, bang. So you got Josie Altidore. He scored twice now, right? I mean, he scored his second goal.
That's right. Yeah. He's been back for three, 4 weeks. That's right. Yeah.
And look, you know, it was kind of a sitter. But look, I'm sorry, it wasn't. He pushed the dude out of the way and straight pushed it into the corner. But you're starting to see that other pieces are coming into play. Guys like Hamilton up front, they're scoring and doing well. Michael Bradley, I'm not so sure. I mean, look, I know, an Italian team tried to buy him, but, you know, it's something about what he's doing. But you got the Sheru, however you pronounced it, you got that guy out there in the midfield.
I think at the beginning and last year, I think Toronto, you know, obviously they have Jovinko, MVP of the league last season, Golden Boot, the whole deal.
Yeah, but I mean, what didn't he win?
But defensively, they always had, you know, some issues. And that just looks like it's changed so much. The center back Moore and Mauro, I believe,
right?
I'm playing pretty dominantly. Toronto is not really giving up that many goals.
No, they're one. And here's the thing. I mean, I think a lot of the different teams, you know, guys like people that are up there like Philly and who just, you know, stacked out again. They got, you know, Bedoya I forget one other piece. I can't remember right now, but they got rid of Le Tou, but whatever. You get some of these other teams that have a lot of talent, but aren't necessarily going to scare you as much as a team like Toronto can, because they have got some big pieces. We talked about Bradley. We talked about, Javinko, obviously going to score a ton. But if Altidore starts to all of a sudden come up, you know, you can't leave him alone and double Javinko anymore. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. If Altidore and Javinko are both playing well and Altidore's hamstring can last, you know, 15 more games,
Possibly.
If you can just do that.
You know, when my wife is like, just put on pants today.
Yeah. We can just take some time and just yell at, Altidore's hamstrings directly. Not at him. He's a good guy.
Yeah. We'll be like, just walk over here and step on this pedestal. I'm going to yell directly into your hamstring.
Look, if those two players are playing well, Toronto is close to unbeatable. I mean,
I agree with you.
So,
and again, you know, we talk about their defense, but I'm one of those guys that's like, dude, you don't have to be that great when you can outscore. You know, like the first match of NYCFC's season for NYCFC.
It is a tongue twister. Yeah,
it is difficult. What one of the things that surprised me most about it was, yeah, I think they won 4-3, if I'm not mistaken, against Chicago Fire. But I was like, if this goes the whole season where we keep winning by one goal, but we're letting three, but we keep scoring four, I'm fine. I think Toronto has the capability to sort of actually be that team. Now, I know when you get to the playoffs, things become a lot more defensive and things change. Mm-hmm. But I think what will happen is Altidore is going to continue to go down this road. He's going to continue to get more and more looks.
Yeah.
And if he can get back to his DP level self, boof, this team is dangerous. You
know, he hasn't been starting any of the matches. So just imagine having someone like that, you know, play 30-40 minutes. That's right. Like that second half, that's like tough. I mean, the back line has been sort of dealing with kind of speedy guys. They might be a little gassed. And then this giant man just starts, you know, at that point, he's just like mushing everybody out of the way.
Yeah, and he's
right,
a big dude.
Right to goal.
I am also kind of impressed with how like soft his touch is. Because when he was a young kid at Red Bull, he was just sort of, he just ran hard and kicked the ball as hard as he possibly could into the back of the net. He was a scorcher, and now he's really developed. So, you know, hopefully they can get him right and Bradley can find his head again. I know he has those moments of brilliance, but there just seems to be some disconnect with him right now. I'm not sure what
it is. Yeah, I mean, he was injured. He missed a couple games, and it was weird because then Toronto started playing really well.
Shearer was incredible.
So, we'll see what, I mean, going forward, I mean, I think that a lot of the heavy lifting is clearly going to be on Jovinko. Those two goals that he scored, he scored the third one on a penalty, but those first two goals were just unbelievable because he's basically scoring by himself. It's not about like these great assists or team, but he's just able to, he's able to make something out of nothing. And there's very few players in the MLS that can do that.
Both of his first goals. I know the third one, he got a hat trick. I know the third one was
both of his first goals,
All right. Don't you dare. I heard it too. And I was
did
like,
one goal
did he just
count
say?
For two or yeah.
His first two goals.
Yeah.
Look, the third one was a penalty. Still wonderful. Still knocked it past Shuttleworth. But if you look at the first two goals, both of those are pure Jovinko goals. I don't think anyone should get an assist on any of them.
Yeah.
It was absolute
pure
just magic.
Erase it from the...
Get an assist for them. should get a guy.
That's how good
assist.
It was, yeah.
Which reminds me, for my fantasy score, he should have gotten an assist. Absolute beautiful. I don't know what it's going to take to stop players like him, but I think it's going to be, he's one of those guys that you got to let him get what he's going to get and you cover everyone else, or you pour all your defense onto him and hope the rest of those guys fail around him. You know, like, but I can't remember the guy's name, the guy who looks like a gigolo. What's his name? Babalu. He's got like long hair.
I forgot his
Bouliaban.
Name.
Bouliaban. I don't know. Bouliabase, something like that. Balalu? Hallelu?
It might be Balalu or something like that.
Yeah, whatever his name is. You know, guys like that. These are guys that can miss shots, you know? That's what you got to lean on.
Babuli.
Babuli. I was so close. I almost said Babalu.
You know what? Part of me, I get a little self-conscious about like not remembering players' names because, you know, people who are listening right now, they're listening to a soccer podcast and it constantly reminds them like, oh, these are just two dumb comedians. Yeah.
These guys are great. And then all of a sudden they're like, yeah, they're not so great. What's happening here?
They don't know what they're talking about. It's like, I attribute it to in MLS, it's for some reason, given that it's like less in the culture, it's less, you know, there's not many sports shows. I don't know how it is in Canada.
Right.
Because even in Canada, they do like their ESPN, they cover soccer a little bit more regularly as they do like hockey and stuff like that. But you hear the names more often.
Yeah.
So they're easy to remember. Even in the Premier League, I feel like NBC Sports has a long after show and halftime, it's very specific and they're very detailed, and you just hear the names more often that they just stick. But in MLS, we got nothing. We gotta search for everything.
No, we don't have nothing. We have our pronunciations. So,
Babalu.
Babalu is not as great as Jovinko.
So just deal with it, everybody.
You gotta get them where you can.
So next up, you had mentioned LA Galaxy against the New York Red Bulls. You know, one of the national games that was on Fox Sports 1.
And what a game.
What a game. Two to two. And obviously those, you know, East Coast, West Coast rivalry has been renewed.
The beef is back.
The beef is back. So
if we could find Tupac's body, we'd shoot him again. The beef is back.
LA Galaxy against the Red Bulls, 2-2. The Red Bulls were up 2-0 with at the 80th minute and gave up the lead.
Yeah, and look, the biggest controversy everyone seems to be is the red card or the non-call, the non-penalty, the two really non-penalty calls, but the non-penalty call against Mule.
Brian Rowe.
Rowe comes in.
The keeper.
Does take him down. I agree with you that, yeah, that should have been a red card. Not a red card. It should have been a foul, and it should have been a penalty for the Red Bulls. But if you go back even further to the friggin' fourth minute, Kenmar Lawrence threw his shoulder into, if I'm not mistaken, I believe it was not Ashley Cole. I believe it was Keane or Gerrard.
Okay.
He threw his shoulder right into him, nowhere near the ball. It was right on the touchline, so it could have been a free kick just on, not the touchline, I'm sorry, it was right on the outside of the box, on the line, the outside of the box. So it could have been a free kick, but it looked like that should have been a penalty. So that game could have been out of reach,
yeah.
You know, or at least it would have been 1-2 early on. So, you know, I don't think that it's necessarily as said. I do want to say that we're not just here to talk negatively about the Red Bulls. I really like the way they play.
They played very well. They were very strong.
Absolutely. And look, Jesse Marsh seems to be like one of those guys that, you know, people were talking about if Jurgen Klinsmann had gotten the job for England, you know, who would be replaced? A lot of people were saying Jesse Marsh. I don't necessarily think that he is, how do I say this without offending people? Or I don't care. I don't know that he's necessarily like the classiest choice because he is kind of a complainer.
Yeah.
We like to call him Jesse Marsh Brady is what I like to do. Boom, just heard it. Thought it was great. So, you know, he likes to complain. He whines a lot. He bitches a lot. He's on the sideline. He's always yelling at people. Well, he got booted out of the match. I mean, you know, it's like have a little bit, like,
it's
relax
a little bit
a
of
bit.
Patrick Vieira karma coming back at him.
Yeah, or, I think, you know, so. Vieira. I hope so. Yeah, it was just, he's a bit much, but the style that he's played is absolutely incredible. You know, how many of these like beautiful through balls can they possibly get? You know, I watched the condensed match, so it's 20 minutes. Every highlight is a wonderful through ball. I'm like, where are the defenders? You know, yeah, like these players are running circles.
I think what happens to the Red Bulls, look, scoring, you know, keeping LA Galaxy scoreless in the first half, that's no easy feat. They're a very good team.
No, they helped with some terrible shots.
But you know, LA Galaxy for the most part this season has been very good defensively. So it's been very tough to score on them. They have not absolutely given up many goals. Brian Rose, like I believe he's given up the fewest goals this season.
Yeah.
But
got him on my fantasy team.
But they've been I think what happens, they get a little, when people start playing them a little tougher, there were so many yellow cards given. When look, once they were up 2-0, at that point, like there has to be a little bit of mental strength that has to come into keeping that lead.
Yeah.
And they were getting pushed around. LA started playing really, really tough. And I think it got to them a little bit. And also the non-calls, I think got to them as well. They were very focused on the calls that they were not getting to finish the game out.
Yeah, and you know, they have such top class players, you know, guys like Grella, guys like Kleshton, who are, you know, I'm not a huge fan of Kleshton, but the way he plays fits that team perfectly.
He's great. Yeah.
So much that they are really dependent upon like those last second passes and giving guys sort of, you know, diagonal runs and chances and angles that it does hurt. It does hurt when you don't get those calls because it affects your ability to play your style.
Yeah.
So I get it. I get where that anger comes from. You know, watching a guy like Grella and his footwork, there was one specific play where he's at the top of the box and he's got three defenders around him and they're watching his feet because he has complete control of the ball and he passes it. I don't know if he nutmegs or passes it next to someone's foot, but he just sort of gets it right through three defenders. It was absolutely incredible. And, you know, it hurts so much to think that this guy had a trial with NYCFC and Christ didn't take him. You know, it's like a girl you dump after like one date, you know, and she's like, then another guy who's dating her comes up. It's like,
then she becomes Beyonce.
Yeah. And I'm like, you know how much she loves to suck dick, and you're like, oh my god, that could have been my girl, but I didn't take her because she ate dinner weird, you know, like I didn't stay with her.
Yeah, but there was, you know, one the toe next to her big toe was longer.
Yeah, oh god, like, that's an automatic out. Sorry,
I couldn't do it.
That's a no squirt squirt bang bang zone right there. That's what that is. You know, watching Grella play, really, really frustrating how good he is. And it, again, all these guys comfortable on the ball. You got guys like, you know, Verón. I'm not sure what he's doing. I can't imagine Rebel fans are happy with that DP.
I mean,
but
he scored. He scored a goal, and it was a great goal. It was the opening goal of the match. And I think they got put in for Bradley Wright Phillips.
Yeah.
And he got that goal. That was a big deal. Right. But I think...
Well, Bradley Wright Phillips played.
He did play, but he got substituted.
Yeah, okay.
And I think just the Rebels have a very strong midfield. They have a great, you know,
they stay very compact.
Yeah, we've seen them play, and they've been very dominant, you know, watching the NYCFC matches where they take it to another level. And they have a lot of promise, but I do think it's really that mental strength, you know, and right. and maybe Dax McCarty being out affects them.
His replacement got a goal, by the way. I can't remember the gentleman's name, but you know.
But when they,
I guess my question is, you know, you've seen them just as much as I have. What team are they? Are they the team that struggles on the road? You know, they haven't won on the road since, 1988? You know, like they have.
Something like
they're
that,
going, I might be wrong. you know, the team that struggles to get those goals on the road, or the team that can't win on the road? Or are they the team that, you know, plays against NYCFC and scores 7 goals? Who are they?
That's a great question, and I wish I was some kind of expert.
Yeah. Well, this is why you come to the Cooligans.
I don't know.
Breaking that, down.
That's a good question. I
meant that in a not. I did want you to say something, but I actually shut. I shut his mic off. it was rhetorical because you know if I had to answer, who are they? I think they're closer to the team that loses on the road because I think I do love the style they play, and I think they play it so really well. And I would love if that was the national team style, that, you know, tight, compact, high pressing, you know, attacking the ball when you lose possession right away. I absolutely love that style. I think for the most part that there are mental lapses that happen. And if you're doing all those things, you have to be perfect.
Well, the teams tend to reflect their manager, right? And,
right.
And I think that's what's sort of happening. Look, when Marsh left, they focus too much on when they start to get a little bit bullied, they don't know really what to do. So I think I think it's probably
The funny thing is that you said that because when they are the bully, they're on point.
You know?
When they come out and they're firing all cylinders and they're playing that game where the moment they'll push you, but if you tap them, they fall. And not necessarily just diving. I mean, just like being smart about it and playing the game where they get inside your head. They're incredible. But you're right. If the opposing team can do that to them, it knocks them off. And you know, they are a very strong team. I'd be interested to see what happens without Dax if that injury doesn't heal relatively quickly. I would be interested to see what happens kind of later. Is out for the season. He seemed to be really strong for them in the left back position. So see what happens with them moving beyond that.
Yeah.
What's one of the other games that you watched?
Orlando City against the Seattle Sounders. Another hat trick in the MLS.
Man.
This is Orlando. It was I believe you scored 3-1.
Right.
Seattle won 3-1. And Clint Dempsey got a hat trick. Seattle finally, I think because of our episode, they finally got out of their funk.
We were talking so much about Jordan Morris, and he seemed to be.
Jordan Morris was completely on point.
Wow,
just,
man. Took it to another level.
2 assists. I mean, just great.
But also smart assists. Both assists.
Yeah.
You know, he led
unselfish.
Very unselfish. Led the goalkeeper out so that he got close to him. Boom, passed it over to Dempsey. Dempsey, 2 easy tap-ins for Dempsey.
Clint Dempsey, it was such a simple hat trick, but it given that Jovinko and Dempsey both got hat tricks the same day over the games on Saturday.
Same round.
Part of me felt like is this too common? I don't really hear about 2 hat tricks happening in like the Premier League the same weekend.
You know, I mean, and that's actually a great point that you bring up because, you know, the thing that's talked about so much in this league is parity because of the, you know, the cap and so on and so forth. Yeah. I mean, that is a lot of hat tricks happening.
It's a bit, 2 in the same weekend seems like
I mean,
very
I'm sure
rare.
That happens from time to time, but you know, the sheer amount of hat tricks that have been happening.
Even in general,
you know, Lampard had one the previous round.
That's right. It seems like we're getting about a hat trick a week. It's a very strange average.
This is killing fantasy MLS. You got to know who's getting the hat trick.
It's like you, it's Oprah. You get a hat trick.
You get a car. I don't want a car. All right, then you get a hat trick.
So, because I'm trying to remember the Premier League last season, and I'd be surprised if there were even 4 hat tricks in the last Premier League season. I don't remember hearing about that many.
Right. Also, again, you know, defending is a little different.
Yeah.
You know, they defend as a unit. We're a lot of individuals.
And I'm just making that observation. I'm not like MLS sucks.
No. You're on your soapbox, buddy, and I like it. You know, it's about time.
No, it's good. You look.
Christian Polanco breaks it down.
To get those goals, I wouldn't want to, take back those Giovinco goals. Those were great goals. If that came in a hat trick, perfectly fine. I'm happy about it. Dempsey's hat trick, I'd be like, all right, I could trade this hat trick in for a different for like one cool, really nice goal.
That's like when you get like gift certificates for holidays or your birthday to something you don't want. You're like, look, all right, I got two Applebee's gift certificates. Yeah. I ain't going there. I'll trade you that for a t-shirt.
You say like, is there a gift receipt with this hat trick?
Oh, this is a really nice hat trick. I got one already.
I don't know what to do with like so many hat tricks.
You know, I really would like, I don't know, maybe a full stadium, you know, so can I trade this in for maybe a couple more
fans?
That'd
be a good.
Seattle, not a problem for them.
Are
we talking about Valdez?
Yes.
God.
Because Nelson Valdez, look, he's been criticized a lot. He is a very, you know, highly paid player, and yes, he was brought in to score and especially after Obafemi Martins left, he would have to have a larger role with the team,
right?
And Valdez,
like my lunch.
Valdez,
larger role.
Everyone wants him to score, so that he wants to score desperately.
Are you kidding me?
So that, you know, people can stop criticizing him so harshly.
Right now, he is sanding down the posts, the goal posts.
Yeah, they are very shiny.
They were too wide.
I think that's the problem, is that they're so shiny that they're reflecting in his eyes, and he keeps hitting them. He hit the post twice on goals. I mean, they were his. They were just, I mean, basically tap-ins.
I can't even explain. The one, he sort of curled it around the keeper.
Yeah.
And it banged off the post. But one, the keeper runs away from the goal. So the keeper attacks the guy with the ball. The guy with the ball, I can't remember who it was. I thought it was Jordan.
It was either Morris or...
It might have been Ladero. I think it was Ladero, right? Mm-hmm. So the keeper runs at Ladero. Ladero finds a way to find a streaking towards, and I'm not making this up, the direct center of the goal. So he is not off at a weird angle. I mean, if he runs straight, he takes out the net in the center of the goal.
It's harder to miss.
And am I making this up? He's maybe 3 feet away from the goal. So it's almost too hard of an angle to miss. Yeah. Like, even if he hits it wide, it's going to go in the side net.
It's the distance of a small child. Yeah. He's very close.
He's at least a six-year-old child's distance away from... Yes. And somehow he finds not Eden Hazard. What was the guy's name at Roma who did that? We put the video up.
Oh, Edin Dzeko.
Edin Dzeko, right. Yeah. So he pulled an Edin Dzeko, just finds a way to curl this thing, send this thing wider than it. And he's in the net. He's inside the goal where he landed.
But he hits the post.
Yeah, and he's just like, what? Why am I the only thing in here?
Yeah, it's hard to believe that he made. And at that point, when that happened, I'm like, oh, he's just cursed.
Yeah.
Like, there's, you know, curses are real.
Right. Or like the little girl from Stranger Things is in there, is somewhere in that audience just pointing at him with her eyes. It was insane, that one. The second one, I kind of get. It was a tough angle shot.
Exactly.
He deserved it. But, you know, it's so funny, man. You know, at the end of the game, he was probably like, so we did good, right? And they're like, no, you didn't score. He's like, oh, I thought this was a post challenge. I thought we were just supposed to hit the post.
Yeah, he did. He won that.
He's like, wait a minute, this isn't a post challenge? Speaking of post, can we talk about Portland SKC?
We can do that.
Did you see the TIFO?
I don't remember what it was. What was it?
It wasn't a massive TIFO. They just put a little one. It's the double mint gum, but instead of double mint, they put double post. Do you remember Abdul Salam for the, whatchamacallit, for SKC? To get to the finals, to MLS Cup final, the penalty kick that he hits off both posts. So he beats the keeper, hits one post.
That was last season.
Yes.
Now
it travels across, hits the other post, and then out. And the audience was like, "Yay! Oh, yay! Oh!" It was so funny.
That's what I love about the Portland fans. They are
the best.
The best trolls.
In fact, new segment #. Savage of the week. We'll go SOTW. Portland fans, #RCTID. Rose City till I die. You guys are absolutely the best.
They're great.
I don't know who did it, but you get an applause from both Cooligans. Get Cheers. It over there. You are just crushing. Double post. So savage. You guys are our savage of the week.
And it's a very specific joke, you know, and it's for the people who really know and really follow the game.
But guess what happens? Abdul Salam gets a red card in the match. Obviously, it messed with his head. You guys, what magic? Magic.
I was actually when watching the game. Abdul Salam is not someone who I generally paid attention to. This season, but I thought he played great outside of, you know, getting kicked out, and it did seem a little bit like the ref was like,
it was a makeup call.
Yeah, he was making
it was
up
a makeup call for sure.
But
although, I mean, I don't know if it was necessarily a makeup call. You saw Diego Chara got a red card. Did you see what he did?
Yeah, he
straight he elbowed the dude on purpose. Like came at him.
It wasn't that. I don't think he hit him that hard, but he did. The intent was there.
That wasn't even a straight red card. That shit was assault. That was assault.
I wouldn't go that far.
I just did. And I also just heard it. I thought it was pretty good.
I thought, you know, he was upset. Did he make a poor decision? Was he like trying to end this guy's career? I don't think so. No.
He deserves two red cards on that. One, for hitting a dude in the head with his elbow. And two, them cornrows. What is going up with them cornrows?
You're not a fan of cornrows?
Come on now.
Just in general, cornrows or his cornrows?
His are pretty atrocious. But just cornrows, I mean, what year is this, you know? I posted on Twitter that he looks like he was going to, choke PJ Carlissimo pretty soon.
No, I think...
Reference to Latrell Sprewell,
that's right, but I think it's because Diego Chara is a member of Bone Thugs and Harmony.
Yeah, so. That's true. I forgot it is. You got Crazy Bone, you got Lazy Bone, you got Diego Chara Bone.
Diego Bone.
Yeah, Diego Bone. Everybody loves Diego Bone. Diego Bone, 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 Bone. So tell me what you're going to do now that you got a red card and there ain't nowhere to hide. But he looks like he's... I want to see him do a press conference in like a FUBU shirt and a Pele Pele leather jacket with that haircut.
Yeah. Yeah. It was like, did he just step out of a time machine?
Damn, homie. Ludacris got rid of him and that was his thing. What are you doing?
Yeah. There's not too many cornrows in MLS.
In sports?
You only see them at
OTB. That's it. Off track betting. No,
it's Diego Chara and Andy Carroll. That's it. The only one, the two that are holding on.
Andy Carroll.
They're the only two that are rocking cornrows.
Oh, man. It might come back in his style now that he's doing it. Riff Raff also has cornrows.
That's right. Yeah. Obviously, great idols to live up to.
Did you see the Nagby? Is that what you're about to talk about?
Nagby, obviously. But look, the Valeri goal first was...
Beast.
Was great. Outside of the boot, he's biting off of Jovinko. Everybody's like... it's...
Anything Jovinko can do, I can do better.
Right. That's back to... Perfect. Yeah.
Did it work?
Yeah. That was
I said Jovinko pretty quick. Yeah, whatever. It worked. Also, the fact that it's a reference for a movie I've never seen. So.
Valeri, obviously, you know, a rock in Portland. And Portland had a rough start to the season. And it looks like they're probably going to creep in to the playoffs. So, I mean, they're looking pretty good.
They're going to creep.
But yeah. Nagby, it was the third. How many goals? I don't even remember how many goals they scored in the game, but I think it was the second or third.
Yeah.
Nagby just I don't play. I'm not very good at soccer, right? But I've been playing. And I've been getting better.
You're nowhere near as good as I am.
Not even close. but when watching Nagby in the box with that confidence on the ball and the confidence to not take that shot, and he did like a turn around.
It was a cutback. It was a turn and then a cutback.
And he spun around the ball and laid it off to Jewsbury. He just who put
literally
it in.
Just running straight. Just his foot just hit it. I mean, he didn't have to do anything perfect.
But it's Donathan Nagby, when he's in that position, you can't take the ball from him.
No.
And you have to like double him, right? And that's right. Why, you know, that's why Jewsbury's so open at that moment. But that was just such a smart play, such a confident play, especially for a team that didn't have the greatest start in the world. A lot of times it's like there's certain players that are like, my team is not doing great right now. I gotta put it in the back of the net. I gotta do this.
Absolutely.
But he's the like John Stockton. It's like I want the assist before the goal. And that
right.
was just
Which
that
is
was
a, what you want from a player of his at his position. But here's the thing. What's more important, you think? Valeri or Nagby? Because Valeri has the ratio is different. For Nagby, he has these flashes of brilliance, and he sometimes has some pretty long sustained, periods where he sort of controls the match. But most of the time, or not most of the time, a lot of the time you're finding that, you know, you're waiting for this to come out. I know, you know, people were talking about the national team, you know, people were talking, and Valeri is just one of those guys that seems like he's always ready to go. I can't wait. We're going to be doing a Portland Timbers interview pretty soon. So I can't wait to talk about this. You know, what's more important to that team? Is it Nagby or is it Valeri? Nagby is one of those people that I'm sure people are sitting back, you know, especially American fans. They're sitting back and they're waiting, saying, thinking, you know, when is he finally, after all this time, when is he finally going to tell Diego Chara to cut that hair? You know what I mean? Like, come
yeah,
on,
everybody.
Dude. Buzz on the side.
He has like the clippers right in his locker.
He's like, come on, homie.
Bro. Just texting him pictures of just the scissor emoji. No,
all right, you're Diego Chara. All right,
yeah.
I'm calling you.
Hey, what's up?
That's all you hear. It's a buzzer. Nagby just turns the buzzer on. I told you to stop calling me.
I have a set of skills or whatever.
Yeah, just
get really angry. Just the random.
He calls the hair directly. You will be taken.
But yeah, look.
Obviously, when is he going to show this brilliance in the national team?
Yeah, you know, I think it's just about playing time. Obviously, his first real important games were at the Copa America. And look, I think Nagby's the future. I think, you know, of the men's national team. I mean, he's
Pulisic.
Once Bradley...
Nagasic, as we've said.
That's right. And once Bradley is done, retires from international duty, I think... He's next up. I mean, I can't really think of anyone else that I sort of trust with in that role.
Right. And, you know, tons of skill. I don't want anyone to think, especially Portland fans that were sitting here dissing Nagby. We want to see that. And I'm sure you do, too. Every time out, every time he has the ball in his hands, you want to see him be that brilliant. And that's it.
Yeah, that's not too much to ask for.
Just be
absolutely brilliant. Every single time we see him.
I mean, you can't fail at making burgers if you work at a burger joint and be like, well, he gets one out of every 10, right? No, you got to be right every time. Everyone, if you're a doctor, you can't, you know, mess up. One good brain surgery every four.
I love that you're comparing brain surgery to making burgers.
Like, I'm talking about what's important to me.
I feel like you're allowed to make a little bit of mistake with a burger.
I mean, yeah, you could toss one out. But what I'm saying is you can't. You have to deliver the right product.
Of course, okay? Of course. And but there's a lot to, you know, coaching,
we all
managing.
Know that burger is more important than your brain. I mean, how else is your brain supposed to work if you're not eating burgers left and right?
All right. We're going to talk about Montreal very briefly. Montreal played against I keep forgetting. Well, who did they just
Houston.
Play? Houston Dynamo, though. Houston, yeah. Who we never
We just realized
in 52, I don't even think we've said the words Houston Dynamo. That's how bad it's been.
We might not have said Houston Dynamo.
Houston Dynamo
year.
Have had such a bad, like, you know, year and a half
to, right.
That we've... They have not even been on our radar.
No. We talk about the Colorado Rapids way more than we talk about the Houston Dynamo. It shows you how far they've fallen.
Montreal, the Montreal Impact beat Houston 1-0, which, of course, Montreal has... Houston has not...
No, Houston has great defense, but yeah, I mean, look, Houston, you know, they don't have much else.
They
really.
Are last in the Western Conference. I think they're last in general.
Yeah.
They are such a poor team. They just got rid of Giles Barnes.
Right.
He went to Vancouver, I believe.
Yep.
And
I think all they have left is Bruin. Will Bruin, if I'm not mistaken. I believe that's their biggest offensive threat.
Yeah, I don't know exactly what's going on, and I guess we'll look into it for the six Houston Dynamo fans, yeah. I guess, that are left. But we have an interview.
There you go. You figured out the words.
Coming up. I'm like, what am I?
This is the end of this first segment. On our second segment, we have Nick Sabetti from Goal.com, who is also the beat writer for the Montreal Impact. So we're going to take a break and we'll be right back. And we'll be talking to Nick Sabetti right after this. Hey, what's up, guys? This is Alexis Guerrero. So I'm one of the Cooligans, and I just want to talk to you guys real quick about On The Volley Apparel. Really cool clothing brand based out of Southern California. They're LA Galaxy fans, but do not hold it against them. Right now, I'm wearing the most comfortable hoodie, and I'm not making that up. The most comfortable pullover hoodie I've ever owned, and it's got the Wu-Tang logo on the front with a soccer pitch inside of it. If you go to our Instagram, you're going to see some of the photos of it. It's absolutely some of the coolest stuff I've ever had. I want you guys to go check them out on Instagram. at On The Volley Apparel, O-N-T-H-E-V-O-L-L-E-Y Apparel is A-P-P-A-R-E-L. Check them out. Their website is VA Football Club, VAFootballClub.com. Check them out. Absolutely awesome clothing. Such cool style. Buy some of that stuff. Really support them because these guys are doing a great job producing some really, really awesome stuff. And we absolutely love all of their stuff. And I think you guys are really going to love it too. Again, check out that Wu-Tang. They even have that in a t-shirt. So I know it's starting to be summer. It's going to get nice and hot. Buy yourself a dope t-shirt. I wore it on stage the other day and people kept asking me where I got it. It's pretty dope. I think everyone's going to love it. I think you will too. Check them out on the Volley Apparel. Welcome back to the Cooligans.
Welcome back, guys. We have a sick segment planned.
I agree. I don't know if sick is probably the word I would use, but I think it's sick. You mean sick in the good way, obviously.
Sick, gnarly, you know, diseased.
Gnarly, yeah. Because one thing people think about when they think of both you and I is surfers from California.
No, this is great. I'm excited about it because just, you know, in the last few weeks, we've been trying to grow from the NYCFC bubble that we've sort of been in.
So this is our second year. We made a commitment to get out of, you know, just New York, right?
Yeah.
And we love the league. Right, we obviously are season ticket holders.
We're playing the field, you know. We're seeing other people.
Yeah, maybe you don't know what else they got going on out there. And here's the thing: we both absolutely love, you know, NYCFC, but we also love MLS. One of the teams that we love watching is Montreal. And on the phone with us right now from Goal.com, beat writer for Impact de Montreal. I hope I said that correctly.
You probably didn't.
But I think I'm going to say this part.
Not
right.
Bad.
Nick Sabetti is the voice you're hearing on the phone. Nick, how are we, man?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me, guys.
Oh, are you kidding me? So happy to have you on the phone. Let's talk a little bit about Montreal because you've had a relatively exciting season, but I kind of want to take it back to what really put you guys on the map. I think for everyone was Drogba's intense half season last season. And then of course the off season that was a bit touch and go, but we're pretty good now. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what that was like for you? You know, sort of as Drogba came in. And you can, you know, if you want to mention anything from before that, but as far as I'm concerned, you didn't really exist before that.
Well, no, I think it's, you could argue that in Montreal, the Impact maybe didn't really exist before Drogba's arrival either. Well, maybe that's a bit harsh, but in a certain sense, his arrival also really, really drove the Impact on in the sporting landscape here. I mean, his arrival was extraordinary, given, you know, the stature of the player, given what he's done over the last, 15 years, really was been one of the great strikers of the past decade and a half, a player that, Saturday mornings you turn on the TV and he's scoring big goals. So it was very surreal for the fans here because, there are a lot of soccer fans here in Montreal. And it was also pretty extraordinary too because, before his arrival, obviously with, Toronto signing a lot of players and there was this concern that, the owner here, the Joey Saputo, although he does, have some financial weight that, we wouldn't be able to attract players of that caliber, of that sort of stature here to Montreal. But so his arrival was a surprise in a way.
Any idea how that happened?
Field, it's been great. Sorry?
Any idea how that happened? I mean, obviously, there is a connection, Côte d'Ivoire, right? Ivory Coast, where he's from, French-speaking, French-Canadian. So, I mean, it's not completely out of the realm, but was there a relationship with Chelsea? Because he seemed to be the kind, I know he had gone to China for a little bit, but he seemed to be the kind of guy that was just waiting to get back to Chelsea. And I think that's one of the things that we ran into in the offseason was his desire to go back and coach after the failed season. I'm an Arsenal fan, so I was very excited to see Chelsea fail. But, for an entire season. But any idea how that happened? Was it Saputo putting that together?
Well, I mean, it was he finished his time with Chelsea as a player. It was clear that, he wasn't going to – he didn't get much playing time in that last season with them, and it was clear that he wasn't going to really play at all after that with them. And then, but he still felt like he could play and he was looking for a new experience. And it was a choice between, the US playing in MLS or in China. And the only, from there, as soon as a big player like that, makes his interest known for MLS, MLS obviously asks the clubs asks around the clubs in MLS, you know, asking who would be interested in him. And at that point, only the Impact and Chicago were the team. And Chicago had his rights for the league. So it was only those two teams that, you know, really came forward, which in hindsight is kind of, at the time, seemed like, well, he was 30, 37. How much more does he have? It seems like just like, so I think a lot of teams sort of backed off from that. Maybe, yeah, you know, a couple of years ago, there would have been a New York and LA involved in that.
Well, when just watching Droga this season, we were talking about it a couple episodes ago about like how kind of important he's been to the league, you know, since he's been here, just as a fan watching him play. I'm excited to watch him. And then during the offseason, when it was possible that he would not be returning, that kind of scared me. I was just like, oh, no, I want to see Drogba for as long as possible.
Right.
So is there a fear, maybe even after this season, that he might not be returning? Because as a fan of MLS, I would like to see him come back as opposed to just, you know, spend a year and a half and just bounce, you know?
Well, his contract is up at the end of this year. So in all likelihood, he's going to retire. But, I mean, he is doing well this year. It started off a little bit slow because he didn't have much of a – he didn't – because of the whole offseason saga of him potentially going back to Chelsea and whatnot, he didn't do the preseason of the Impact. And so he took some time for him to really kind of get going. But – I think at this point right now, the Impact are I know that they're considering now making an offer to bring him back for next year.
Wow. You heard it here first. You heard it here first on the Hooligans.
Yeah. I mean, it's not, I mean, there's certainly something that they're thinking about, you know, it's not,
it's certainly something I'm thinking about.
I mean, because at this point, I mean, the guy physically is okay. He's 38. He'll be 39. But
the guy's in great shape.
He's still dominating.
He's still in great shape.
And he's in so much better shape than I am. It's insane.
Sure. Yeah. He doesn't necessarily need to, like, I mean, he doesn't have to make the runs behind. He can play more back to goal. He can play more in the box. He can just offer that physical presence up front. And in terms of what he's meant to the fan base in this short period of time, and, you know, they're selling out every game. There's a great enthusiasm for this team. And so, you know, it's a situation where I think the Impact right now are considering, you know, wanting to bring him back. Whether that offer comes, we'll see. Whether he wants to come back is another story. But I think, I think initially at the beginning, there was concern about, you know, him not being happy to be back with that offer from Chelsea and that chance to go back. And he didn't go back at the Impact, you know, hardball and did everything they could to keep him, or successful in that. And there was a concern that, you know, now that he's back, is he going to take things seriously? But he's been great, you know, his attitude and so on. So, it's certainly, you never know. He could be back next year, but the Impact are, that being said, they are, you know, they are looking at other players in Europe, you know, other possibilities, especially some players from Serie A, because, you know, Saputo also owns Bologna, right, the club there. So there's some reports coming out of players that they're linked with, you know, that they could potentially bring next year. So there's no question that they are looking at alternatives, you know, in case he doesn't come back next year.
It's so funny how Impact sort of has this weird, like, half Italian, half French culture, you know, or French Canadian, really. But, like, you know, you have this, like, French culture where, like, you got guy. I mean, even Biello, who is, I believe, Canadian, if I'm not mistaken.
No, yeah. They're all Canadian. Yes.
Yeah, your manager. Yeah, he's Canadian, even though he looks exactly like Matthew McConaughey. I don't know what's going on. You know, it's funny. Like, I get confused with Mancuso, I hope I said that correctly, and Nacho. And then I get confused with McConaughey and Biello. I'm like, why is McConaughey at the game? Why is he's really excited about Montreal? He's upset about that call. Oh, no, sorry. That's Mauro Biello. Let's talk a little bit about...
He should stop saying, all right, all right, all right. Yeah, yeah.
It's, you know what it is? It's because he's parked in a Buick on the sideline. Let's talk a little bit about Nacho, because, I mean, I talk about this. I've talked about this on the podcast at length.
He's on my fantasy team.
Yeah, he's on my fantasy team as well. I mistakenly made him a captain for 2 weeks as opposed to Giovinco, but another Canadian. We won't talk about TFC. But let's talk talk about Piatti, because he seems to me, and maybe this is just us watching, you know, the matches or some of the condensed matches, he seems to be sort of the engine of the team. He seems to be the pivot that gets it going. You know, he springs the attack. He makes these amazing through balls, and he just seems to be at the right place at the right time. How important is he to the club?
I know we talked about Drogba, but on the field, I think that Piatti's really impacts the most important player. And going into the season, you know, with Drogba, given how well he did and how many goals he scored, basically a goal a game when after arriving last year from Chelsea, the idea was, you know, well, the impact's going to go as far as Drogba can take them. But this year, it's, you know, Piatti is really, not that he wasn't any good in the previous seasons, but this year he's just really stepped it up a bit. He's really feels comfortable. Yeah, I think he's definitely the impact's most important player. And I would say one of the best players in the league. I would argue, I mean, obviously this is, you know, this is more of a subjective thing, but I think he's the most exciting player in the league. You know, the best, he's not the best player in the league, but I think he's in terms of what he does 1v1, and his ability to take on players, and often he does too much. Often he tries too many things, tries to be a little bit fancy and so on, and he tries to, you know, take on players in areas where maybe he shouldn't, and maybe sometimes he should give the ball off a little bit. But from an entertainment standpoint, maybe outside of a player like Mauro Diaz and so on, in terms of those players who could really light up a game and take on players and really electrifying in that sense, I think he's one of the most exciting players.
Nacho Piatti is easily the Canadian Kobe Bryant, you know.
Well, he's not Canadian, so no, he's Argentinian, yeah. But yeah. I guess, you know, yeah.
It's so funny that you think of like guys like Ladero, who just got to the league, and how exciting. You know, they just sort of spring the attack. I don't know really another word for it, but they're so creative and they make these amazing through balls, or just like these really intuitive passes. Piatti's one of those guys that's been doing it. I mean, it seems like you guys have a bunch of, you know, really, really smart, really strong players on the team. What's the club missing? Because I don't know that there's a lot. I mean, you guys are right now in what, fourth place, if I'm not mistaken?
I believe so. Fourth place, yes, yeah, in the Eastern Conference.
You're in fourth place in the East, clearly a playoff team, and you guys play a relatively sort of playoff-proof style, which is, yeah, you don't play a style that people are going to say like, oh, but how's that going to play in the playoffs? You know, you play a relatively defensive, spring the attack, sort of counter-attacking style, fast-attacking football. What else does the team need to get to that first place and be more consistent?
Well, the biggest need that they have was in central midfield. That was an area of you know, clear weakness for them. But they did just bring in Argentinian midfielder Hernan Berardello, who was already with the Impact a few seasons ago, but he was with the Impact as a designated player. And then he left because this offer came in from Mexico, and it was you know, a bit too good to turn down. And although he was a DP, he was a little bit disappointing during his time with the Impact. But now they had this opportunity to bring him back, and you know, he's still 28 years old. He's got a lot of experience in Spanish first division, and he's a workhorse in the middle. He's a player that covers ground and tackles, wins, backs the ball for them. So, and you know, he started his first game against Houston, and you already see that, you know, he makes a huge difference in the middle of the park in terms of, you know, covering for the defense and sitting in front in that deeper role. So that was a huge, I think, huge acquisition for the Impact going into the playoffs. And then the other areas on the outside of midfield, on the other side of Piatti, maybe, you know, there's an Oduro, there's a Ship. I mean, it gets a little, you know, there's a little less quality there. Maybe that would be, but otherwise it's a very good team.
What's your impression of the, defense, the back line? I mean, not to say that Montreal has that many issues or concerns, like for example, Laurent Simon, when in Belgium, time there during the Euros weren't super strong.
Started out good. And then a lot of bad highlights there.
And there seems to be, you know, there was the other highlight that, you know, Jack Harrison had on Oyongo. You know, he had that goal of the week where he was just sort of crossing him up. So there seems to be, you know, some miscues, some issues. What's your impression of the Montreal Impact back line?
Yeah, there's some, they do have some sort of fragilities, or well, the one thing at center back with Simon you mentioned. I mean, I think, you know, Simon is probably the best defenseman in the league, but I'm not sure he's with. I'm not sure he's got the ideal partner next to him with, you know, Cabrera. Cabrera is very similar in terms of player, in terms of physical stature, but also in terms of, you know, someone who is very aggressive in his, you know, trying to read the game and anticipate. Ideally, with a player like Simon, who's not a big guy, you'd want a bigger player next to him. Like, you know, in Columbus, you have Parkhurst, who's kind of similar to Simon in terms of stature, so a slimmer kind of guy. But then he's got Sauro next to him, big, tall, powerful presence. So, you know, that kind of combination. The Impact don't have that. So one area for them on, you know, with crosses in the box, on set pieces, they lack a little bit of aerial ability, I find, there. Donny Toya at left back, he's been out for many games this year, and he's a tremendous defender 1v1. And when he's in the lineup, the Impact are a lot more solid defensively. So, no, it's a good defense. It's a good backline, but they do make mistakes. I think they're very aggressive in the way they like to defend. They try and anticipate. They try and it's not a kind of stay at home defense. They try and really get at you and make it difficult, whatever. But sometimes you get caught, and you see that often with this team. So it's a good defense, but they do have some vulnerabilities for sure.
What's it going to take to get a guy like Oduro to be consistent? Because there are moments and flashes of pure brilliance.
And when his we say pace, flash, it's literally flash.
Yeah, because exactly. his pace is unbeatable. You know, he reminds me a lot, as an Arsenal fan, of sort of like young Theo Walcott. Like, there's all this pace, but then every once in a while, there's like a missed pass or you know, just, you know, a terrible first touch. You know, is it the pressure to live up to the level of talent around him? Is it just the type of player he is? Maybe you can give us a little bit of insight into that, because when he came to Yankee Stadium to play NYCFC, we were in the stands and completely fearful of his pace. I didn't think there was anyone. Matarita maybe, and I think he was injured that game. So there was like, I was really worried about his pace, but it seems they can't use it as a weapon.
And Yankee Stadium is so small. He was getting box to box just in mere seconds.
Are you kidding me? he was in both sides of the pitch. He was in both boxes at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that since he's arrived, the Impact, I think this is now his third season. I think he's grown a lot as a player. He's still not his finishing. His finishing is still not great considering the chances that he gets. But on the outside of a 4-2-3-1 or a 4-3-3, I think his decision making has improved a lot. I mean, his passing is a lot better. I mean, it's still not spectacular, but it's improved a lot, and I think his obviously his speed and also on the defensive side that helps a lot. At this point, I think he's 30 or 31 right now, and so, you know, the player is he is what he is now. I don't think that there's, you know, he's going to grow so much more as a player. I think it's, but I would say for the Impact, he would be the player that starts on the other side of Piatti in the midfield as a winger. So it is. So that would, like you mentioned weaknesses before. I mean, that's, you know, a little bit of a, you know, sort of an area where it's not, you know, the Impact aren't very strong there. Where ideally you could have somebody else, and, you know, he's taking up quite a bit of space on the salary cap. So
I wanted to get your opinion on the Drogba red card. He got a red card 2 games ago. I forgot exactly who it was against, but it seemed incredibly petty. It seemed like a very harsh red card. What did you think of the red card he got?
Yeah, because he was very surprised. Not like complaining to get it turned over. Just surprised.
I thought it was a bit much. I mean, obviously he shouldn't be doing that. I mean, he should know better and all that. But I don't think there was anything. I mean, there was nothing especially violent or really dangerous about that. I mean, it's just silly. I mean, maybe you could almost just you could almost not even give a yellow for that, and just like you go, you know, it's just like kids stuff. You just go over and say, "Look, go on, take it easy."
It was a nudge. It was a knee, you know, a nudge with his knee.
Right, he played noogie with his knee on the other player.
Like I said, it's not like violent conda.
Well, it almost, you know, it seemed, you know, a couple weeks ago during the New York Derby, Jesse Marsh was talking. You know, he made those public comments about how the referees are not. we have a history.
Yeah, not that unbiased here. Sorry,
but he made those comments about how the referees, you know, specifically to the NYCFC designated players, they tend to give them, you know, they don't make calls on them, or they
protect them.
They protect them.
Yeah, that was the term.
And
yeah,
it almost seems like that could have an effect on the rest of the league, because this red card towards Jorba seemed like a response to, we're not going to protect the DPs if they're going to, you know, if they're going to be mildly reckless.
See, that's Christian thinking that. I just happen to think that it's because the officiating, I think, is atrocious. At most times, it's very inconsistent. And, you know, my history watching soccer, you sort of understand how someone's going to call the game. You know, you understand this guy's going to, you know, get the yellows out quickly. This guy's going to let you be physical a little bit. It seems like it's, you know, people change, the refs change their mind midway through a match very, very quickly. You know, I watched that and I was like, what is he giving him a red for? You know, look, it's only going to help us as NYCFC fans. But, you know, for the purpose of the league, I think you're right. It's like, we're going to protect the DPs until we forget that they're DPs in the middle of a match, and then just give them a red card for something really, really silly, you know?
Mm. Yeah, I mean, sometimes they protect players in terms of, you know, I was watching the New York City game against San Jose on Friday, and, you know, there was some soft tackles on Pirlo. He goes down easy, and the ref whistles it. And, you know, there's cases like that where, you know, the referees will, you know, give the foul, protect the big players, and so right. on. But, you know, I don't know in terms of numbers comparing other leagues, how many red cards, you know, are there more red cards in MLS? My impression is that there is. It'd be interesting to see. Look at the stats in other leagues, but my feeling is that there are a lot of red cards that are given which aren't red cards. Like I would say, like 30% of the red cards aren't red cards, something like that, or wow. something close to that.
I think the one thing about Pirlo, though, is to keep in mind that it's in his contract that he's not allowed to touch the ground with his behind. So
rules are
once, as soon as he touches the ground, I mean, come on, you know, get that other guy out of here. Real quick, I want to wrap this up, but I want to ask you guys, you know, I know a lot of the clubs are talking about their academies. You know, maybe a quick 30 seconds. Is there anything about, you know, the Montreal? Because I remember watching a video of Drogba making the youth players dance in the locker room, and it seemed like it was a big bonding moment. This might have happened at the end of last season. And, you know, it was a big deal for the youth players just to get into the first team locker room. You know, and I, you know, that's something that's just honored all over the world. Tell me a little bit about the youth soccer setup that you guys have there in Montreal. Are there any prospects right now that you think are MLS level ready or really excited about?
Well, the academy is fairly new. It's been around for about 6 years now. There hasn't been very much, to be honest. The players, you know, there hasn't really been anyone who's been able to break into the starting 11 so far. Although the most exciting talent is this kid called Tabla. I forget his name now. It's a long French name. It's like two parts to it, but his last name is Tabla, and he's a really exciting winger. You know, because I mean, these academies is one thing. I mean, to develop defenders and defensive-minded players, but the real challenge is developing those more attack-minded players, those players who have those, you know, real technical abilities to get at difficult spaces and whatnot. Those qualities are more difficult to develop. And, you know, there's a player, as a Tabla, who supposedly, according or from ESPN, is on the radar of some big clubs in Europe and in the Premier League, whatnot. I don't know how true that is, but certainly a player who has unique ability to, you know, gets the ball midfield and can just go on a run and take on players. And you saw him against Roma a little bit in a friendly. It was only a friendly, but he created a lot of problems when he came on in the second half. But so he's an exciting player. But of course, you know, you can come on for 20 minutes and look sharp, but it's another thing to, you know, to do it 90 minutes week in, week out, and deal with many situations. So nobody really yet, I don't think, within the next year or two, I don't think we're going to see anyone really break into the starting 11. anytime soon here in Montreal.
We got to get you guys a Lauren. That dude is a beast. You know, the fact that he doesn't play for the American national team really upsets me. You know, we're trying to get him to Sidney LaRue. That's what we're trying to do. And that's before he gets bought by Benfica, which is looking like.
But he's already played for Canada, so he's got the cap, so he's tied. You know, there's nothing you can do about
it. You're really excited to tell me that, by the way.
I mean, it's finally. I mean, look, we finally get one. We finally have a decent striker. Let us enjoy it.
We haven't had
anybody else for like 100 years.
Yeah.
Well, except for De Rosario.
Yeah. Come on. De Rosario was great. You know. And also, we're trying to be typical Americans. We found that you have a resource and we're trying to take it. Okay. It worked with Aaron Johansson. Okay. It worked with a couple of German kids.
Yeah. We sold you Alaska.
That's right. Like,
we're not going to give you Laren now. Right?
I think it's exciting that you guys use the term sold. Come on.
I don't know. I'm not much
of an historian. You know,
Alaska had Sarah Palin, so.
Can we swap?
We have a little bit of buyer's remorse, trust me.
Can we swap Sarah Palin for Kyle Aaron? Come on now.
It's a good deal.
Trudeau could stand next to her. It's beautiful. Both beautiful. Listen, you thank you so much for coming on board. Is there anything you want the fans to know, where to follow you, where to find you?
Oh, you can follow me on Twitter at Nick Sbetti. 2 T's rhymes with spaghetti.
Boom. And we're going to tag you and everything. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to talk with us.
Nick, thank you so much.
And fans, thank you for listening. Thank you for listening. We'll be right back with segment number 3. We're going to do a little Cooligan's Corner right after this.
Couple young kings. Look, man, I'm the one they all fear. I was the man of the year last year. Now I'm the man of the year for the second year straight. Like, nobody don't compare. And now I'm sitting on the top and I'm looking straight down. Like, hold on, is anybody there? Shut down Malia, shut down Iceland. Oh my God, this not fair. Look, man, I was on the roads when Dizzy means stop that. You're not a bad boy, stop that. Stop paintings on my WhatsApp. Yeah, they love when I drop that.
Cooligan's Corner, baby.
Cooligan's Corner. Yeah. Squirt, squirt, bang, bang, squirt, squirt. Okay.
Come on. I pointed right at you. Nothing. No,
I was going to say that that's the sound of people protesting outside.
Protesting because they want more squirt, squirt, bang, bang.
That's what it is.
I'm pretty sure that's what it is. All right. We got Cooligan's Corner. We know we went long on the interview and in the first segment was kind of long. So we're going to make this short. 2 really, really important things.
It's 3 almost. But we're going to wrap this up. Yeah. Right? Put a little bow on it. A cute little red bow.
Cute little baby bow.
Baby bow.
What you heard in the break was the sound of Stormzy, which is a grime artist. Grime is very popular. That's sort of the Jamaican British version of hip hop. That's their version of out there. He's very popular. And what you didn't see, if you watched because you listened to it, but if you watch the video, it's Pogba dancing.
Yeah.
This is his introduction to Manchester United.
Paul Pogba is now a member of Manchester United.
Right. So he is an Adidas. He's an Adidas athlete.
Yes,
he is
now an Adidas. A huge marketing campaign behind it. So they have a music video. They have a kid cereal.
theme park opening up.
The Pogba theme park. Yeah.
Sorry, you must dab this hard to get in.
So there's a lot happening. So this is a big deal in the soccer world because Pogba is
the highest transfer of all time.
Yeah.
You know, the most expensive transfer of all time. And also, you know, he dances. He's a good dancer. You know, I'll give him credit for that. Mm-hmm. He's not the best, but he's pretty good. Stormzy's very good. He's a very big guy, so I'm not going to say anything. The one thing I don't like is that Pogba dabs, obviously, but he does a little bit of a basketball shot dance. Homie, you ain't the one to do that.
Yeah, you're not Jim Jones, though.
No. Also, we saw your basketball shot. You ain't allowed to do that dance, man. You do not know what you're doing. In fact, the dance looked better than the actual shot. You should learn from the dance.
Yeah, so Pogba's back to Manchester United. Obviously, there were weeks of will he or won't he? The romance going back to a former love in Manchester, but now it's official. He's finally going back to Manchester United. Honestly, as a fan of the Premier League, this is a little bit scary. Manchester United look like the, you know, the Golden State Warriors of the Premier League. This is crazy.
If David Moyes or Van Gaal was still their manager, I'd be like, they'll find a way to mess this up.
Yeah.
But they also got Jose, who, you know, I know his last season at Chelsea was bad. Look, his third season everywhere is bad. Do I have to put up with this for two seasons of him winning?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't want that. I don't want that at all.
Yeah, this looks at this point, it looks like if Jose does not win the Premier League title, it's a failure.
It's his fault at this point because he has everyone now. You know,
he has everything. He cannot complain like, I'm missing pieces here and there.
Right.
No, at that was like, yo, we gave you all the we gave you access to the vault.
We gave you everything.
So the expectation has to be incredibly high.
Yeah, I mean, he almost has to be in the Champions League final after winning the Premier League.
Well, yeah, so, you know, Manchester United is not going to be in the Premier League.
They're in Euros.
You know what I'm saying? They're not going to be in the Champions League this season. So, which is even more reason why they should win the title. They're going to be in Europa.
They should only send the kids to Europa so it doesn't disturb them from trying to win the league.
Yeah, so obviously, the expectation is going to be very, very high. But this is a big deal. I'm not a Man U fan, but this is...
They're going to be fun to watch.
You're going to be fun to watch. Yeah. Ibrahimovic.
Until they play Everton and until they play Arsenal.
I just feel like I have this fear like they're just going to dominate so many teams.
Yeah, I know. I don't think that's necessarily the case. But soccer is one of those sports where that can happen. You know? People said that about PSG and they did, you know?
Yeah. Hopefully that's not what happened. Just have a 40-point lead against Arsenal in second.
Yeah, I mean, could this be a sign to Arsene Wenger to just please, 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 please buy a striker?
Yeah.
Could we use Mahrez? Speaking of Mahrez.
Yeah.
Oh, the Community Shield game. You were just saying before, Leicester without Conte.
Yeah. So the Community Shield game, Manchester United won 2-1 with a late goal from Ibrahimovic.
Beautiful run up and score from Lindegaard.
Jesse Lindegaard got just a goal that
Lindegaard, by the way, this isn't hockey. Sorry, Lindegaard. I said Lindegaard.
Lindegaard. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Sorry.
But Jesse Lindegaard, a great goal that just, he just turned on the boosters.
Yeah.
He just, Leicester never really allowed goals like that last season where people would just kind of run right through them.
They were hard to break down last season. I know it's only the first match, but they had a whole preseason. You know?
And
Musa looked good, but, you know, Vardy, again, you know, doing what he does. You know, you give him a chance and he's going to score. But, yeah, I think you're right. Defensively, they're not the same.
It's a different team, man. Without Conte, obviously, and N'Golo Conte went to Chelsea.
Right.
And they're, Chelsea got him for a reason. And Conte's not someone who, you're not expecting him to score any. You just have to be a beast in the middle.
You got one job, break it apart,
clean up any mess. And that Lingard goal looked like it could have been something Conte would have prevented.
For sure.
But Ibrahimovic scored the second goal, late. And even though Leicester had some good chances, they could have, you know, it could have ended probably in penalties or something like that. But when you see Ibrahimovic there, most strikers, he looks like a center back. That's what I'm saying. Most strikers in England are not that big.
No.
And, you know, and he hopped over Wes Morgan.
Yeah, that's right.
To get that goal. So this is that was the thing that I'm like, oh my God.
You the captain? Yeah, you hop over the beast of a captain?
Yeah, and some people think it could have been offsides.
I think he was offsides.
Close call.
It was a close
very
call.
Close,
but I think what you're seeing is that he muscled his way into a header.
And looks like it's going to cause some problems for some
Ibrahimovic is, to reference something you said, Ibrahimovic is Andy Carroll if Andy Carroll could use his feet.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know?
Yeah.
I hate the fact that the whistle was blown at the end. I just want to see him score.
Oh yeah.
From, you know, past the halfway line because you know, Schmeichel was up.
Schmeichel was up. Yeah. Sorry. One thing about the Community Shield to me, obviously it's the first game, like the first official sort of game of
FA Cup winner versus Premier League winner.
And they have a whole big ceremony and the whole thing, which it just seems weird. It seems weird to pop champagne the first game of the season. Yeah. You know?
It's the first trophy, though. It really is a trophy.
Yeah, I mean, it is.
No one considers it. You know, when you talk about trophies you've won, you know, Arsenal, they say, oh, they won the FA Cup 2 years in a row. No one says they won the Community Shield 2 years in a row as mm-hmm. well. You know what I mean? So people just don't talk about that.
Yeah. You know? Watching the celebration after the match, I'm like, it seems just a little, it's a bit much.
This reminds me of NASCAR. Remember NASCAR's like biggest event was the first event of the year, and then you had like a whole season.
Yeah,
I don't know anything about NASCAR, but that's the only thing I knew, was like whatever it is, like the Grand Speedway event, whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't know the name of it, like it's something 500.
Daytona 500, was that
the big one? Daytona 500,
Daytona, but I don't know if it's the first one.
It used to be, they changed it because they want like an actual point system, but yeah, it used to be like you won this big one, look at this, you won the first race, and they're like, all right, now you have a whole season.
Yeah,
you're like, oh, you know,
it's like getting excited about, like in the NFL, if you win all your preseason games, like, and then having a trophy ceremony.
Yeah.
That's a little odd.
Forget the Super Bowl winner. Did you hear who won the All-Star game? the All-Pro game? The Pro Bowl, that's the name of it.
So that was cool, but the final thing I wanted to discuss on Cooligan's Corner, David Villa, right? So NYCFC, look, we know in the MLS, they're trying to be a big influence on the rest of the league, obviously with three in like megastar DPs. Obviously, you know, they're making a conscious effort to attract fans to the game.
And we're in a big media market.
That's right. So it's beneficial for the MLS to have a successful and popular team in the greater New York area, right?
Absolutely.
And
let's not, okay, in New York City.
In New York City, specifically.
Come on now. Don't do that.
David Villa was recently on Sesame Street.
What an honor.
What a cool thing. And if you NYCFC posted it, you can see it on their website.
He was talking Spanish to Maria.
That's right. To Rosita, the little
Rosita. Oh, that's right. There is a little one now.
So he was on there. The segment, probably like 3 minutes. But very, very cool. He's speaking in English. It's for Villa specifically. It is like because they had a behind the scenes thing, and people, when they go, we have there's one comic who works for Sesame Street,
right? Yeah.
I've always heard it's like a very flattering thing to be there, especially when you with you know even it's for adults honor. Even for adults, it's like, oh well, they're all here, like and that's how Villa,
because like those Muppets or puppets, whatever they are, they're Muppets, they're famous,
and people know them all over the world. They might have different voices and they don't, you know, it's not
hello, I am Kermit.
It's not in English in Spain, yeah.
I am Franz Kermit.
But it is a global thing, and people are very excited to see them. And it was cool for Villa, who's you know, English is not his first language, to do that and be in front of an American audience. And you know, Villa has been very vocal about that. He doesn't want to go back to Spain, and you know, he's already a big star there and a legend, and he will always be that. But he wants to be in the American market and be known, and he wants to help
starting camps here.
Yeah, he wants to help grow the game, and that's a great way to do it. And one thing I loved about it, because Sesame Street is obviously it's a good thing, and kids, and it's educational, and kids learn a lot from it.
Right.
But it, you know, and they obviously use it for good, but it's like, I was watching it as an NYCFC fan. I'm like, yeah, it's just like indoctrinate them before they can be Red Bulls fans. You know,
that's right. Get those kids when they're young. Tell them who's cool. We are.
And it really does. You know, they gave, jerseys to like Rosita and Cookie Monster, NYCFC jersey, and like there's probably like 10,000 kids watch that, and they're like, hey, I like soccer, and that's a guy who was on the show, and they're gonna be fans of NYCFC.
That's huge.
It's gonna be cool.
It's a big thing. I'm very happy about it. I didn't watch it. I still to this day have not even seen a full episode of Sesame. I've never seen Sesame Street. Never watched it when I was a kid, but it's nice to know that there's a Latin one. There's one that speaks Spanish. That would have helped me watch it when I was young, when I didn't speak English. But I agree with you. David Villa is doing, I mean, you can't ask for a better DP. He plays his ass off. He tries tries hard. He's out there in the community. He's starting academies. I mean, he's doing it all. Wonderful, wonderful guy. And I'm sure the MLS is very happy with him just as much as we are. And even if you're fans of rivals like Red Bulls or DC United or Philly or New England, you got to love a guy like David Villa.
It's good for
you can't hate David Villa. He's like Derek Jeter. Everyone, you know, Boston fans hated the Yankees. They would have wanted Derek Jeter.
Yeah, so. That's right. That's right. So
to have another Jeter. Yeah, this has been an absolutely wonderful episode. Again, thanks, Nick Sabetti. He's getting a couple stickers. That's what you get when you're on the Cooligans. If you are a fan and you want some, send us an email, soccercooligans@gmail.com. Tell us you want stickers. Tell us where to send it, and we will send you some stickers. And then all you have to do is take a couple photos with them. Tell us where you put it up or show it to them. You know, share it with the world. Share us with the world. Share our videos with the world. Hit like, hit 5 stars on iTunes. Hit subscribe or follow or all those buttons that you can press on social media. That would help us out greatly. We are building and building and building. We got a lot of surprises coming out, a lot of things for the fans and some of the players that we love in this league. So we would love if more and more people found out about this because we're trying really, really hard.
Yeah, we are. This is an everyday thing. We do this podcast. Once a week. Every day, stuff is going on behind the scenes. We're really trying to make this a thing that is entertaining and fun, and people care about, and it will actually help grow the game. You know, there's a connection to humor and soccer that we're genuinely trying to like merge and make it part of our culture, and just so that people, you know, when you mention Giovinco, when you mention Villa, people are like, oh, I don't watch soccer, but I heard of that guy.
Right.
You know, that's a nice feeling. Even that kind of progress is a good sign.
We're using our talents to try to build the sport. So hopefully you can use your fingers to help build our following. Sounded very weird, but you know what I mean? Hit the things on your phone. Make sure you follow and subscribe. I am Alexis Guerrero.
I am Christian Polanco.
And together we are
the Cooligans.
Squirt, squirt, bang, bang.